Hi, everyone. We're back to the Neil Haley Show here on the Caregiver Dave Celebrity segment. I'm excited to welcome to the program Caregiver Dave Nassani. Dave, how are you? What's up, man?
I'm awesome. Thank you. How are you?
Hey, I'm always doing well. And the topics we have, Dave, you just never know. And we have just different ones, but the Royals. I know my wife loves the Royals. And I think
mine too.
Yeah, I'm sure your wife as well. And so let's introduce our guest.
Kristen Cantina, and she's praised as spectacular and addictive by Kirkus Reviews, A House Full of Windsor. Basically, it talks about London from the 1980s to the present time, and it's a book. And welcome to the show, Kristen.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. We'll just kind of jump right into specifically your background. Did you always love the Royals before even covering them? Was that something?
I did, yeah. I mean, my mom was really big into Princess Diana when I was growing up. So that was always, you know, part of my childhood. And as I got older, I studied abroad in London. So I became, you know, more interested in British culture and, you know, the Royals kind of myself. But I think it really culminated when Will and Kate got married in 2011. It was all you were hearing. And I became interested in following her style and, you know, her charity work and things like that. And yeah, eventually I ended up writing about the royal family.
Have you ever been to London?
So I lived there. I studied abroad in London and I go back every year once or twice. So yeah.
So you're in it deep, as they say. Yeah. So let me ask you a question, because my wife makes me watch this this stuff on TV about the Royals, and is it accurate, the depiction of how they've done it? Is it really accurate, or is it like a reality show and they embellish here and there?
I mean, The Crown specifically is a drama and it's fiction. It's based on some true events, but you know, especially if you're seeing them having private conversations, no one knows what private conversations they have. They're all made up. So yes, there is a degree of accuracy and, you know, following historical events, but a lot of it is embellished. So you just kind of take it as entertainment and, you know, the grain of salt.
And I think about it specifically, The Crown. I watched the first couple seasons of it and I want to go back through it. But so from your research and what you know about the Royals, so a lot of this is embellished, The Crown?
Yeah, I mean, there are some, and there are so many articles out there that you can look up to compare, you know, actual facts versus what took place in the show. And yeah, there's a lot of things that might be embellished a bit. So the most recent season with Diana, I actually didn't finish it yet just because I found it very personally heavy of a topic, and you really have to be in the mood to kind of want to watch that. And you know, everything that happened with them obviously didn't have a happy ending. So, you know, sometimes you have to be in the mood to watch it. So I really didn't actually finish the most recent season.
We've also been watching, you know, about the French Revolution and all of the monarchies in Russia and different European countries. Why do you think that England is the only one that didn't go through a devastating revolution the way all the others did?
I mean, they did at one point. The king was beheaded, so you know, they were through the monarchy.
But they're still here. They're still here.
It's just, you know, a sense of tradition and, you know, all of those things that have somehow continued on, and people love the pageantry and, you know, look up to. I mean, modern day royals now is more about charity work and carrying out these initiatives and getting involved in communities, which I think helps them continue on because people see them out and about and, you know, talking to hospital workers during the pandemic and doing that kind of stuff, where before it was just, you know, you're a figurehead and waving around town.
But in the 70s, you know, there was always the threat that the people would revolt and get rid of the royals. They're tired of paying their bills and their extravagance and this and that. Is that threat always going to follow them around?
Oh yeah, I mean, there's always the people that are going to be against it, and what they have to do is work hard to prove their value. And I think the pandemic especially is able to do that, so it's interesting.
We should talk about their value. What is their value, by the way?
I think the value is, like I said, them carrying out charity work and initiatives to help in local community. I mean, especially in the UK, they're, you know, on the ground going to, say, hospitals, schools, you know, different places, meeting people in communities. Prince William has something called the Earthshot Prize, which is like the Nobel Prize for environmental work, which is new, and trying to, you know, work on climate change and things like that. And Kate's doing a whole project with the early years with young children, where basically getting children a better start, you know, under the age of 5 to avoid things like drug abuse or things down the road that could be prevented by having like a healthy foundation. So they're creating these initiatives and trying to, you know, make communities better.
So thinking about the process of the Royals, and that's an interesting point, that's because bad PR has come out lately on the Royals, that I think that you look at the good that they do. And that's great that we're bringing this out now. And I'm sure with your book coming out, you're happy to be able to bring some of the positive things about the Royals when there's a lot of negative things going out there, especially what's come out in the news this last 6 months to a year.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, it's been, I think, a good time for my book to come out just because they are in the news so much. I mean, especially in the past year. And, you know, good or bad, they're in the news and people are talking about them. So that's actually been a bit of a benefit to me in terms of marketing, yeah. Because, you know, my cover has crowns and Union Jacks and everything all over it. It is very in your face. Like, this has to do with the royal family. But at the end of it, you know, my book is also a family drama, and it is about a woman who's obsessed with the royal family, but it's not a book necessarily about the royal family. So it's royal adjacent, I guess you would say.
And it worked out, and it works out for you because I think that what side would you go on? Would you go on the side of mostly pro for the royals and what's come out in the news in the last year, or would you kind of be in the middle, especially because you've covered them?
I mean, yeah, there's a lot of different conflicting opinions and strong opinions there. And it's hard when you are hearing things and trying to report on them objectively. But, you know, at the end of the day, they're a family like anyone else, and families have squabbles and they have drama, and, you know, you work it out eventually, usually.
Yeah, it seems like the most common problem with these dysfunctional royal families is that they seem to fall in love with non-royalty, and you know, everyone seems to have a problem with it. And then divorce, you know, they discover they're not happy and they want a divorce, and it's such a sad story to watch. Even in modern days, you know, the stories that they just can't be together, or they have to be shunned or debarred, or whatever the term is when you're defrocked from the royal family.
Is
that dysfunction never going to go away?
I mean, as long as couples are going to get divorced, I don't see that ever, you know, going away. But there was actually a theme I wanted to play on in my novel, because the woman Debbie, who's one of the main characters, marries this British guy, and he's from, you know, very wealthy family, not royal or anything, but, you know, they have this huge estate, and she's getting married at the same time as Charles and Diana, and she relates to her because they're both kind of marrying into these wealthy families, and just kind of overwhelmed and not necessarily feeling welcome at the time. And they go through some of the same highs and lows as Charles and Diana do, and you see them getting, you know, having kids around the same time, getting separated at the same time. And so she feels this kinship to her. And I kind of wanted to play on that theme of, you know, marrying into this family that's kind of larger than life. And, you know, what happens when you're a bit of a fish out of water in that sense. And it was interesting to explore in fiction in, you know, just a normal family.
The normal family. And that's the interesting. So the book, in a lot of ways, that you wanted, what was the reasons to not write it exactly like a tell-all of the royal family? What was your thought process of how you created the story?
So, I mean, I'm a fiction writer, so I didn't necessarily set out to write about the royal family. And I mean, you know, there's so many historical fiction books about royal things like that. And even, you know, I think people are starting to include more modern people like Queen Elizabeth and whatnot. But actually, I got the idea because I was watching an episode of Hoarders one weekend, and this woman on the show was talking about how her mother's collecting had impacted her life in just every aspect, you know, her relationships, her career. And I thought that's really interesting. And I wanted to take a look at someone whose, you know, obsession with collecting something could lead to the downfall of their marriage, to, you know, their children having fractured relationships. And just because I do write about the royals, I thought it would be interesting to throw that in as the theme. And so Debbie, you know, is very obsessed with the royal family and her collecting, you know, Princess Diana dolls and cups and all kinds of things. Her house, you know, gets out of control. It ends up in part destroying her marriage. There are other factors in that, but yeah, I really wanted to kind of take a look at someone. And, you know, people look up to celebrities and feel like they know them. And I think there's this culture of, you know, adoring celebrities or royals. And I wanted to take a look at that in a woman, just like an average, you know, she's not wealthy or famous or anything. It's an average family, and kind of how that can impact your life.
Now, this fictional person who's obsessed with the royal family that you write about in your book, I mean, I'm sorry, I got to ask this. Is it you?
No, I think our similarities kind of end in the sense that we both studied abroad in London. I like to, you know, have the...
And you are a little obsessed, let's be honest.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's a hobby that a lot of people have in following the royal family. And, you know, it's interesting, but I think.
It hasn't destroyed your marriage or anything like that.
It hasn't destroyed my marriage. I just, you know, have my home office decorated.
Hey, but see, that's the fun thing. That's what spices life up. You know, we all have our passions, and especially those passions, because we find something that we've enjoyed since our childhood. In some ways, we luck out in those ways and get to live it. Now, I'm just amazed at the fact, and definitely people need to check out the book, but to be have the opportunity to cover it, that really is being a journalist and having the opportunity. How wild was it for you? It just, was it so real when you were covering it?
Yeah, I mean, it's I wasn't writing for Royal Central at the time, but I did go to Harry and Meghan's wedding. Just, you know, I was blogging at the time and doing some media appearances in London. So I was there, you know, outside. I obviously wasn't in the church or anything like that, but it's very surreal to, you know, be there in that kind of large scale event and, you know, the crowds and everyone cheering. And it's just, what's an atmosphere you can't really describe. So yeah, it was a bit surreal, you know, in that sense. And when you are able to go to things and, you know, the Queen is not that far away, it's really interesting. And it's great when you can combine a, you know, hobby or passion of yours into work as well.
I think that's awesome, for sure. That's what I try to do in my radio and TV show, is it became a hobby, started as really a hobby just because I wanted to do entertainment again, to now make it's my work too. So it all works out in the long run, and monetization, figuring all those things out and getting the opportunity to interview amazing people and amazing stories, for sure. And that's the key thing. So Dave, as we talked about on this program last week, it's about, you know, brand building, but also staying to your mission, right, Dave?
Yep, we're staying to your mission.
And Dave, you're staying to it in caregiving, right? For sure.
I am staying my mission. I wear many hats, but the big hat is caregiving, because my wife had a stroke 25 years ago and she lost her speech, became paralyzed on one side. And so, you know, I've written 4 books now about different things, the stroke, our memoirs, my gas station, which I own for, you know, 45 years. But I truly believe that everyone is going to eventually become a caregiver at one point, or they're going to need a caregiver. So I always talk to people about, you know, are you prepared for this tsunami of caregiving? You know, all these baby boomers are getting older. They're going to need care, facilities, there's a shortage of facilities, shortage of caregiving. Do you ever give thought to that, Kristen?
About to caregiving?
About having to, you know, maybe care for your parents one day, et cetera.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm just having this conversation right now with a friend of mine whose mother is in the hospital. And she's a little bit older in terms of like people our age, parents, and she's really overwhelmed. And literally like an hour ago having this conversation with her. So it's interesting.
30% of them actually die from the stress. And so... More become hospitalized.
A lot to think about. And, you know, I agree. It's definitely important to plan for that sort of thing.
Well, so I brought up a website, caregiverdave.com. It's an online support group. And it's just filled with the tools and resources and to help people to not just survive or cope, but to thrive in caregiving. So that's my mission now. That's my brand.
So, and this is interesting, Kristen, you had that conversation. And so we all have to look at it because people we know are caregiving and they're dealing with a lot. And even people that are stuck at home with COVID, right? And have to care for their children. And it becomes can become a burden too, a challenge for them. They really don't have that me time.
Mm-hmm. Oh, definitely. I mean, even in the past, I mean, I think any parent can relate in the past year being home and, you know, working from home and, all right, I'm juggling, you know, working and, you know, Royal Central is not my day job. I'm passionate about and I enjoy doing, but it's, you know, a freelance thing. So I have a day job separately from this. I write fiction. So I have a lot going on. And then, you know, I have an 8-year-old son. The caregiving aspect is just kind of, I think, always present in a different way.
So do you get to travel with Royal Central sometimes to go cover stuff still?
I've been writing for them since 2018, and with COVID, you know, I haven't been able to go. I did go to Scotland in 2019 and covered, there was a Harry and Meghan wedding exhibition with their wedding, you know, her wedding gown and his outfits and stuff, which was interesting to see. I was already planning to go there with my family. So I did some work while I was there and wrote some articles while I was there, but I haven't specifically got to go anywhere since then because of COVID.
So you do Zoom, do they do the Zoom press conferences with the Royals now because of?
Yeah, they were doing a lot of Zoom things, and now they're moving back into the in-person events, which I think is great because, you know, you can reach more people and meet more people. It's, you know, it's just different than doing Zoom, but it was nice to have that option that, you know, during 2020 and earlier this year to be able to at least reach out to someone on the computer.
Exactly. Yeah, the UK is supposed to be opening up. I'm supposed to be there in September.
You're in good shape, Dave. I think you're in good shape for UK. You might not so, might feel good in the US. You might have to figure out a way to
I might not be able to get back into the US.
Because I don't think in the US you're going to be able to go, but from what I hear, the UK is doing fine, unlike us.
No. But they're coming under a lot of criticism. The rest of Europe is calling them irresponsible and, you know,
really? Freedom Day thing. Yeah, I just checked out an article yesterday saying that's because more than the vaccines. Always interesting. But again, best place to connect with you, Kristen, is where? And purchase your book. Where can we go?
So I'm most active on social media on Instagram. I'm at Royally Kristin C. That's K-R-I-S-T-I-N. And my website is kristincontino.com. K-R-I-S-T-I-N-C-O-N-T-I-N-O.
And what should we look out for with the Royals right now? What's the newest, latest news, gossip? We got to get something from you.
Especially. Oh boy, there's so much going on right now. Well, right now actually is traditionally the summer break. So the Queen goes to Balmoral in Scotland. The Cambridges always take a break. There's really not a whole lot going on in August. So a lot of times more like gossipy things end up coming out during this time because people don't have anything else to do or write about. But right now, Meghan had her 40th birthday this week. So we've seen Meghan launch an initiative trying to get women to mentor. So it's for like basically donating 40 minutes of your time to a woman who's trying to get back into the workforce from the pandemic job losses. And so she's asked 40 of her famous friends to donate 40 minutes of their time. And is also, you know, asking the public to try to donate, you know, their time to help other women who are trying, and not even necessarily women, but, you know, people trying to get back into the workforce. And she's very big into feminism and that sort of thing. So that's her new initiative. And that just came out this week. And, you know, there's been some chatter about that as to whether that's, you know, really something that will work out. And there's always going to be people who are critical of her. And
yes, yeah, so some people love her and some people hate her that are royal fans.
Yeah, she gets, you know, quite a lot of vitriol, I think, more than a lot of people in the family do. You know, I think personally, it's something that I think is great, mentoring, especially when you're in a field like journalism or writing, where a lot of times it's who you know, and it's hard to break in sometimes. So even having that chat with someone who might be able to point you in the right direction or say, hey, I'll pass your road resume along, or, you know, XYZ place is hiring, you can use my name. I mean, that's so helpful to someone who might not have an in that door. So I do think it's, you know, a great initiative, but 40 minutes, maybe not, you know, might not be what someone needs. I think mentoring also needs to be longer term in some senses, but also it can be helpful to have a short meeting with someone who says, yes, I'll pass my resume, you know, pass your resume along, or I'll give you a contact or read your, you know, whatever. So I do see a benefit in it, but there's a lot of people being negative about it as usual.
Well, we really enjoyed the time with you. I learned more about the Royals in a way, but also learned about specifically enough Dave's questions on the Royals. Oh my goodness. I really enjoyed it. So appreciate it. And Dave, anything else to add before we close out?
I was just wondering if you had any English blood in you.
I do. I think I'm like 75 or 80. I did the ancestry.
That's where this is all coming from. Yes. Can't help yourself.
So yeah, I'm going to have to catch up on The Crown. I definitely want to at one point in time, because I enjoyed it. I'm a historian and it's very interesting, but it's also interesting to know what you're doing. So how do you cover the Royals if you can't be there? Is it more about can you get to make phone calls? Do you get to be part of certain things that you find out and then write articles on it?
So the Palace, their offices will send out press releases in advance when events are coming up. So we're well informed of what's going on. And sometimes sometimes things are announced after the fact, especially if there's like a security issue or something like that, where they don't really want people to show up. They won't announce it in advance. So sometimes it's really just, you see on social media, the royal family, hi, Kate was at a school today visiting these kids. And you're like, was she? Great. So then you're, you know, dropping everything to find out the information and pulling it together. But other times, you know, well in advance. So it's kind of easy to plan, you know, your coverage for those sorts of things. So it's kind of a mix of, you know, jumping when you hear something's going on versus planning ahead. And then also, you know, we're always thinking of ideas that are just kind of evergreen. And, you know, I launched a fashion series this week talking about royal tours throughout the years. So people on our editorial team all gave, you know, their favorite outfits they have worn. And there's just so many different, you know, aspects of royalty that you can cover. We also cover, you know, the European royal families, Monaco, Sweden, all of those, Asia, Africa. So I specifically write more about the British royal family, but we have coverage about all these, you know, families around the world and what they're doing. So there's always something going on and something to learn about.
All right. Well, awesome. Appreciate it, guys. That was the Caregiver Dave celebrity segment, guys. Take care.